The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 540, recorded on June 4th, 2019.
Edition of the PD Gaming Podcast and the 373rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am DJ Dozer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. We don't have a gaming flashback today, but Tetris turned 35. Did you know that?
Oh, cool. So, yeah, so next week is E3. TJ will be there. I will not. So, I will say the best podcast of the past 5 years was just me and TJ at Devolver Digital, and he was getting a smooth buzz on drinking their free beer.
Double fisting.
Yeah, I mean, he enjoyed it. You know, he didn't get drunk. He just had that smooth buzz that just made him chill out a little bit more.
It takes a lot of alcohol to get drunk. I'm a big person.
Yeah, you had to do it at the Bethesda thing.
Right. But it was fun. And the whole thing was fun.
At least you got me the mug. I still have the mug too. I use it as a pen holder.
Nice.
So anyways, yeah, I'm not going this year, and you know what? I don't care what rumors are there, it just doesn't feel like it's worth it this year. Even if I wanted to see my friend, it's just that when I go onto the show floor, I'm just gonna be someone who gonna be treated like someone who paid to get in, except they didn't pay to get in, you know. Unless you have a larger site that's gonna get you assignments, hunting for news now is really, really tough. So, you know, I may go next year. That's probably when all the big stuff is gonna be, because I'm pretty sure Microsoft's gonna announce their new console, but I'm pretty sure they're gonna unveil it next year. And by that,
for sure.
Tell you the price and when you can get it and all that stuff. You know what I'd like them to do is they could do what Sony did and their driveless, and I'm willing to bet you $100 that they're gonna have two SKUs and one of them's not gonna have a drive, and they'll say the version without the disk drive, $200, and then just drop the mic. Because they're going to get their money from the Xbox Game Pass for that thing.
Sounds good. It really does feel like the consoles are getting to the point we've mentioned it before. They're basically going to become PCs of sorts. And
Have you seen the specs for the putative PS5? It's supposed to have a solid-state drive. A 250 gigabyte solid state drive with a 2 terabyte regular drive. And the latest, I forgot which card, but yeah, it's supposed to have a solid state drive, and which tells me the next Xbox is also going to have a solid state drive, which is nice. I mean, they're pretty fast. I saw an 8 terabyte external drive for $100 on Newegg. So that's now the drives have really come down in price.
I'm really happy to hear that they're going to do solid state. If that's true, that's awesome. Solid state drives are 100 times better.
If they're going to be computers, then I'll just stick with computers. There's no point
Here's the thing, though, Scott. They're going to be inexpensive computers that are just doing one thing, basically. I mean, yeah, they'll have apps, but you know, they're there to play games. Because the thing is that I'm still stuck with my laptop, because right now I can't afford to get a gaming desktop. So the only way I can play a game that's, you know, that has next-gen graphics is going to be on my Xbox One right now. So It isn't that they're going to be like, no, this is going to be computers. No, no, no. They're going to be game machines that allow you to play games with reasonable that are made to look good, you know? And, you know, it won't be like having to buy an $800, $900 computer, you know, or a state-of-the-art $1,600 computer. So that's the entire point of having, you know. And here's the thing. All consoles are computers. It's not like they have an abacus inside that's doing all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, it'll be like, well, if you want to stick a keyboard on, that's fine. But their purpose is one purpose only, and that's to play games.
Yeah, and I mean, there's still going to be PS5 games, and there's going to be Xbox 2 games or whatever. Xbox One 2. Do we know what they call it, the Xbox 2.
Just stop the bullshit, Microsoft. No one's going to care if they call it a PS5. They're not going to say, oh, the PS5 is better because they're a 5 and you only have a 2. I think that's why they called it the Xbox 360. So when they're comparing it to the PS3, it's like, well, we have a 360. They only have a 3.
Mm-hmm.
We did a complete circle. So, yeah. Like I said, we're going to be discussing more of E3 later in the podcast. So, Scott, what have you been playing?
Nothing new at the moment. So, yeah, just the same games I've been playing.
Okay. So, Minecraft. Have you been playing East?
Not the current one I'm on, Kelset. I have to finish that one. I've gotten party members and I've gotten new abilities, so I'm leveling up. It's a really satisfying game just to go around trashing the enemies with your abilities, and I like it because there's some strategy in doing your attacks, timing them right, and just execute some nice combos. So it's very fast action packed.
East 9 Monstrum. They just released screenshots for it.
I've seen the screenshots. It looks very cool. Very dark, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that reminds me. Have you completed Dragon Quest 9 yet? I mean, 11 yet?
I didn't beat the boss, but the final boss, because I guess there's like 2, you know? So, yeah, that's that last boss I'm going to have to finish off, and then I'll be done.
Are you going to have to grind?
I'm like 99% done with it.
Are you going to have to grind it?
No, grinding won't help. Even if you're at level 99, which is the max level, you have to do a certain strategy, apparently. So that's like, even if you're at level 99, he's still real tough.
Okay, or I was wondering if it was like Zelda 2, in which you had to have a special item in order to defeat a specific boss, and if you didn't have that item, you couldn't beat it, or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah. It's apparently there's a strategy that you're supposed to use. One of the swords that you get at a certain point, and it dispels this fog that the boss puts on you that hurts and disables you. But if you use the sword, it'll take away that fog and make battle much easier, much more manageable.
How about you, TJ?
I played a couple important games this last week. First off, there was Grand Blue Fantasy Versus. This is a game that's a collaboration between Arc System Works and Psy Games.
Oh, you must have creamed your pants hearing that.
So actually, it's based off of a popular Japanese mobile game. It's a JRPG, but it's monetized with a gacha system where you spend so much money on currency and get little loot boxes that have characters in them, and there's special edition characters and all that jazz. Sort of like the Fire Emblem mobile game. Arc System Works and Psy Games have been working together on turning it into a fighting game.
Why am I not surprised? I knew that that's where this was going.
Right. and it's cool. It's really cool. It's got the same it's got the animation level of Guilty Gear Xrd, which is to say absolutely beautiful. The characters
are
really
good. Now when you say Guilty Gear, I always think of cel shaded stuff, stuff that's not supposed to look, realistic, but more like a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. This is a 2.5D, which is to say the characters are look very animated, but there are 3D aspects to them. But the whole thing is so stylized that right. it's a 2D style. It's a very cool.
There's only one plane though. It's not like it's not like Virtua Fighter in which you can change the plane.
Nope, it's more like Street Fighter 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. They had a beta this last week, and it was a closed beta, and it was fun. They only had 5 characters on display, but it was a fun sort of methodical game. I can't remember what it was like to play it's been a long time since I've played a slow fighting game. And it's very accessible. Like, you've got a light attack, a medium attack, and a heavy attack, and these all combo up. And then you've got an ability button. Like, each character has four special moves, and you can either put in technical commands, like the quarter circle forward, like button, like a Hadouken from Street Fighter, or you can just press this ability button and hold a direction, and it'll cast that move. And it's interesting because, like, the moves in this game have a cooldown. The special moves have a cooldown to where you can't just, like, launch them frivolously. And if you put in the technical commands, the cooldown is shorter, but if you use the ability button, the cooldowns are longer. And so it's interesting sort of training wheels to, like, give players the option of, like, do you not want to worry about inputs? Then just use this button. But at the cost of you'll have a little bit longer to wait before you can use that ability again. And I like it. I like the way that it works. I like the little mechanics that they put into this game to make it, like, super approachable for somebody that just doesn't play fighting games. Like, Scott could go into this game and mash buttons and just, like, he could get somewhere. And he could learn. And he could actually have fun with it. But it has a lot of systems that, like, someone like me that's played fighting games for a long, 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 long time that I can appreciate, I can enjoy, I can build my skill with that.
Well, that's
cool. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and Granblue Fantasy is a universe, like, the mobile game has so many characters. I really am interested to see how they build out that roster, because there's a lot of characters in that game. The other game I played was Plague Tale: Innocence.
I heard this one description of it. They said it starts depressing, and somehow it gets more and more and more depressing. And just when you think it can't get any more depressing, it gets even more depressing. And sometimes it's entirely your fault.
Uh huh.
Sam, there's nothing you can do to change it either. No, it's all your fault.
Yeah, Sam calls it Field's Tale, because it is kind of that game. It is just like a series of unfortunate events, but like medieval edition.
But you know what?
Oh, wow.
Someone told me that it feels like a spiritual successor to Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, because it has that sort of same, yeah, things are getting shitty, and it's partly your fault. And, you know, because that game also gets more and more depressing, although it has moments of light stuff, and that's how you know it's going to get really depressing. But no, Plague Tale doesn't have that. There's no light moments between the depression. No, it's just going to go downhill from there. So, yeah,
well,
it wins that dragon cancer award for happiness.
Yeah. I don't know how it's going to go. It's certainly not going well so far, but, like...
Oh, don't worry. It gets worse.
I'm about four chapters in. Don't spoil it for me. I really am interested.
I'm just saying it gets worse. I'm not telling you how it gets worse. I'm just saying it gets worse.
Let him have hope.
No, you must not have any hope. Although I will say I don't know how the game ends. They didn't tell me. So maybe the ending is all sunshine and... I remember Yahtzee calling Ori and the Blind Forest Misery Blue Balls. Because at the end, spoiler alert for a game that's several years old, the mom actually turned out to be
alive. I haven't finished that game, Jonah. Damn it!
Oh, come on! If you didn't play Ori in the Blind Forest by now,
I did play it. I didn't finish it.
Oh, okay. Well, it has Misery Blue Balls. Sorry.
There's a lot to that. I mean, I think you'll like it. I think you'll like continuing that journey if you go through it, Scott.
Here's the thing, the story of Ori has its own story, so it doesn't really matter if you know what happens at the end, because it's the journey, really. It's that game that says it's the journey that makes it there, so whatever.
Yeah, from what I remember, it seems like Ori is trying to save this world tree from dying.
Yeah.
And
Did you get it on Switch?
No, I got it on Steam.
Oh, okay. Because that was one of the big things, Microsoft announcing it on Switch.
Yeah, they and there was an announcement where they said they were delisting Minecraft story mode.
Yeah,
Telltale's, all the Telltale games, at least the ones that
have IP. No, but here's the thing, and it was one of the things I considered talking about, but this one is that not only is it going to be delisted, but even if you own the game digitally, you won't be able to download it anymore because it's coming right off the servers. So they're saying, if you own it, download it because you won't be able to have it again by June 25th. So.
Yeah. But, like, for – I do want to say, for Plague Tale – Plague Tale comes from Focus Home Interactive alongside Vampyr and Call of Cthulhu. And I will say, like, it's fun, but it has a few of those little gameplay quirks. Like, I won't say bad, but I will say that –
I will say bad. Because I hated the combat and the actions in Vampyr and Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, and at that end, I would say, like, your characters move and feel in a sense. Like, I would say they move like the characters in Last of Us. That's what it reminds me of most, where, like, you got to be real, like, careful, because sometimes the movements can be just a touch sluggish to a point of, like, well... If you get caught, you have to remember you're a little girl and there's a guy with a sword running at you. He wins every time. and so that makes for a few frustrating moments, but I think the story is good enough to keep me going. And for Vampyr, that was the same way. I had a lot of the similar frustrations with the gameplay, but I enjoyed what was happening enough to push me forward, I think I would say.
Have you...
Like they all have... Plague Tale has that same sort of draw where, like, the characters would pull me in. I want to see what happens to this girl and her little brother. I want to see them how far they can go through this whole mess that's happening around them.
Has the Sinking City come out yet?
I don't think so.
Because those developers were the ones who were originally developing Call of Cthulhu, and then they got shunted off the project, so they just changed it to The Sinking City.
It's
at the end of this month.
Yeah, I just looked it up too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like it at E3 because I said, you know, they did not put its best foot forward, because even for an alpha, it looked janky. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what these guys were going to do with Call of Cthulhu on that game. So... Anyways, Resident Evil 2 Remastered. I quit.
Why?
Okay, so here's the thing. There's some really good gameplay mechanics and some really bad ones. I'll talk about the good one first. I really like what they do with items and stuff like that. Because if you go to the mini-map, the room will be red saying, no, you didn't do everything you can here. And if you leave, it'll actually show you what you should be picking up. And if an item no longer has any uses, it'll have a little check mark, so you can just destroy it. You know, it's like, yeah, you don't need it anymore. You can toss it. You know, so there's that guiding of never really getting lost in that. You know what you have to do, and if you haven't done it, the game will be telling you in the minimap, do this. You know, the unfortunate thing is that I don't mind a game that you know, has limited ammunition, but at a certain point in the game, it just got ridiculous, and I just said, forget it. I'm not gonna go all the way back to strew this over again to make sure I have enough ammo. I just said I was done. I saw what Resident Evil 2 had to show me, and I just gave up. I don't have any patience for bullshit. Sorry. And it's such a Japanese thing to do, too. You know? It's just in... I don't know. But in all Japanese games, I've noticed this little thing in which, you know, they confuse difficulty with scarcity. You know? Which is, by the way, averted by Dark Souls, which is why, you know, Dark Souls is so good, because you'll never have a scarcity of anything in Dark Souls. You just have to learn how to fight, you know? You can learn how to fight in Resident Evil 2. It's just that they're going to handicap you all the way through, and I just got tired of that. I said, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to deal with that anymore. I'll just watch Let's Play videos. That's the best thing about the internet today, that if I get tired of a game but want to see how it ends, I just look at the Let's Play video. It's not worth my time. So yeah, I mean, I liked the graphics. I liked how mind-numbingly stupid the story was. That was a plus, how stupid the story was. And I'm glad because Resident Evil 4 tops everything by having the stupidest story of all, but at least it's a fun stupid, you know? This game was a stupid in that, well, why don't you... whatever. Why don't you... whatever, I'll just play the game, you know? So I can see why people love it. I just don't have the patience for it, because I have a life.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point of view.
It's like Dead Rising. You know, remember in Dead Rising, you really couldn't go far. The game expected you to die and start with your previous skill level at the very beginning of the game. I can't do that. I have a life. I'm not going to play the first part of a game over and over and over again just to level a character that way.
Right. And I think that's an interesting perspective. Like, for me, I've played the series, like, since the first one. So, like,
well,
I go in.
Expect. So, you know, I'm not going to bother wasting bullets here.
Right. I go into it thinking, I mean, how many bullets do I have? How many bullets am I going to have? How many bullets is it going to take to get me through this area? Can I just run from these things? Is there an easy path through?
But here's the thing. Even if I had a lot of ammo, I got to that point in the game, and you know what it is, in which it's before the jail level. It is where... I'm trying to remember where it is, but, you know, you finally accomplish this one thing, and that's when cue all the zombies and one of the jumping guys, and it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Thank goodness I killed all the dogs in the cages while they were still in the cages. I could imagine what would have happened if I just didn't kill them. They were probably all spewed out as well. So, yeah.
Did you at least get to Mr. Big and Spooky in the trench coat?
Oh, Mr. X? No, but I did watch him kill somebody. I think I was at the point in which he finally appears, anyway.
No. Because that is where the game moves up to, like, next level stress.
Yeah, but I know that you can't kill him, so yeah. I'm going to dodge him.
Right. If only it were so easy. Because, like, he follows you everywhere.
I know.
And you really just have to, like, you have to think about when you hear his footsteps, is he in the room adjacent to you? Is he moving somewhere else? Is he going to be looking directly at you when you come into the room and you're going to have to run?
Which is why I would want him to be to use the mod that turns him into Thomas the Tank Engine. Because that would be truly terrifying.
And so you have, like, on top of the scarcity and, like, determining how the strategy for, like, how you're going to use your items and ammo, you got to deal with
added level stress. I'm sorry, this is not Silent Hill. Silent Hill, I can deal with it because the point of that game is it's a horror game. This is just a zombie shooter. You know, it's the only scares come from the fact it can get pretty gory, and that's about it. And I just don't care. I have better things to do with my time. You know, I mean, I've watched people play Resident Evil 4. At least that there's never any lack of ammunition. I mean, you have to choose which ammunition to use. But there's never a real lack of it, you know, especially since you have a guy with a trench coat selling you shit. There's no guy in a trench coat selling me weaponry here or ammunition.
Yeah, but, like, there's easy mode.
Yeah, who wants to do easy mode? I don't want to do easy mode. I only do easy mode after I've beaten a game and I just want the story.
I mean,
That sounds backwards.
It sounds like you want easy mode if you just want all the bullets in there.
Yeah, you just got done complaining about your time being wasted with these challenges, so you could do easy mode, get the story, and if you really want the challenge, go back and do the challenge.
Nah. You know, the other thing is, though, you know, one thing about uninstalling a game is that the save games are still there, so.
Yeah. I mean, the fortunate thing about Resident Evil 2 is that it doesn't keep any of the story from you for going through easy mode like some games do.
Actually, you know what I might do is I might just, you know, next time I play, I'll just say, screw it, I'll play as Claire this time. At least it's a slightly different story.
Yeah, and she gets slightly different weapons, too.
I know.
You might enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you have other options for different weapons.
Now, let's see, you have the gun,
like,
which I upgraded twice. You have the shotgun. You have the mag. I know that I didn't get yet. and one other weapon. Oh, the rocket launcher, I believe.
Leon gets a handgun that can be upgraded into a rapid fire handgun, a shotgun, and a magnum.
Yeah, I upgraded it, so that's not a problem.
And then Claire gets a revolver, which can be upgraded into a stronger revolver, and then she also gets a grenade launcher. And I forget what her third weapon is, but it's...
I did get the achievement for shooting the bobblehead, though. I didn't even know I would get an achievement. It just was sitting there mocking me, so I shot it. And then I got a pamphlet like a few feet away from it saying, please don't shoot this bobblehead. People have been shooting the bobblehead too much. They show no respect to the bobblehead. Which is basically the game telling you, yeah, shoot the bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyways, so it's winging its way back to Gamefly. I don't know what game I'm getting next. Who knows? Maybe I'll get the Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie instead. We'll see. That looks interesting. I mean, I haven't read the comic because there was already two series of Batman with the Turtles. I haven't read either of them. So, did you know that he teamed up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Whenever I look at the animated series that they just put out, I look at there's a still of it, and Donatello just has the derpiest face as he's standing right behind Batman, and it's like it's this face that just says that he doesn't really care what's going on; he's just happy to be there.
You know, what's even derpier is I saw this when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were guests on Power Rangers, and I believe that was also at the time in which they had the one female turtle. That everybody hated.
Aw, poor female turtle.
Well, she wasn't very well done. I mean, anyways. Other than that, I'm doing a write-up on Railway Corporation, which is getting mixed reviews. And here's the thing is I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Railroad Tycoon, and this looks like the closest they've gotten to an actual Railroad Tycoon since the first one, because Railroad Tycoon 1 or Railroad Tycoon 2, Sid Meier's Railroads, and all the other ones, they don't capture the magic that was the very first one. This one looks like it might, but I have to see. So, it went into early access last week. Anyways, let's do the news. Ready? Here we go. First game news is Shenmue 3 pushed back to November 19th release, and this comes from Game Watcher. In the 100th Kickstarter update for Shenmue 3, developer Yu Suzuki and publisher Deep Silver have announced that the long-awaited sequel would be missing its 27th of August 2019 launch date and be shipping on the 19th November instead. According to the post, whilst almost ready, the game simply needs a little more refinement before being truly finished. We feel that the extra time we have will help us deliver the true Shenmue experience players around the world deserve. We thank you for your patience and understanding. The developer was kind enough to release updated PC minimum system specs, however. One of the Ike opening requirements is still the 100 gigabyte space requirement. The Kickstarter campaign was launched during E3 2015, which I think they did at the Sony press conference, with a projected December 2017 release date. The campaign raised over $6 million with a goal of $2 million, and at the time it was the most ever spent on a Kickstarter. And that, I think that's when Star Citizen said, hold my beer. I do not have good feelings about Shenmue 3. It looks like crap, and having played Shenmue 1 and Shenmue 2, I'm thinking that game was crap, except the concept of an open world was kind of foreign. And why play Shenmue when you can play Yakuza?
Forklift races. Not really, but...
this game has such a nostalgia filter on it, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I never really saw the appeal to Shenmue after so many other games did what it did. And you're right, Yakuza exists, and there are six games in that series, and all of them are better than Shenmue, as far as I know.
And you're talking about derpy. The main character of Shenmue looks derpiest of all. they said that they were going to tone down the graphics. It's not about the graphics, and I agree. But why did they have to do the douchiest graphics possible? It looks like a Dreamcast game, and maybe that's the appeal for some people. But it looks like a bad Dreamcast game. Now, one of the things I found interesting is that they keep on talking about being for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox, but there's no Xbox listed anywhere, which tells me, yeah, Sony got a year exclusivity on this. So, I don't know. I just don't see good things for Shenmue 3. And here's the thing. We've all had enough experience now with kickstarted video games that we now look at them with a little bit of a side eye. You know, we're looking at Mighty No. 9 and Yooka-Laylee and, you know, even the good ones like, A Broken Age. You know, I mean, that wasn't the best either. And here's all the seriously good ones seem to be coming out on Fig. You know, Fig wasn't in 2015, but was it? I don't know. But it seems like if you really want a game that a crowdfunded game that's going to be really, really good, go to Fig. You know, Wasteland 3, The Bard's Tale 4, Psychonauts 2. I mean, yeah, Larian depended on Kickstarter to, you know, give some really good games, you know, like the Divinity series. Speaking of which, I know that we're going to be talking about Larian in the third item, you know, which is, oh, by the way, one thing that they showed off today, Microsoft showed off, and it's going to be on other consoles like the Switch and PS4, but Beamdog has been busy and they're releasing all of their games on console. And for those who don't know, Beamdog owns such things as Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, Icewind Dale, you know, all of the, Planescape Torment. So they're coming to console, and it'll be very interesting to see how those translate, you know.
Yeah,
those are isometric RPGs, and, you know, and especially Planescape Torment, which has 500,000 words in it. It is several books length.
I'm interested to see how well it does. I don't know that I'll buy it on console since I already have it on PC, but it's it's a good move to get some more attention for the games and spread them to other platforms. I hope it plays well.
There's a lot of PC games, games that you would associate with PCs only are coming to console, which is sort of saying that bridge is closing. You know, that the division between PC and console is closing fast. Which it used to be back in, say, 1983 when you had stuff like the Commodore 64 and the Atari 400 and 800, the Apple II GS, the Commodore Amiga, you know, all these computer/video games. You know, at some point, you know, they're going to release something like the Amiga, you know, something that is a computer but is heavily weighted towards doing video games. Still, you know, hey, TJ, have you heard anything about the Atari console?
No, not recently. I think I heard it was going to be – they were going to have something on it at E3, but I haven't heard any new announcements recently.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what Atari is doing because it's been awfully quiet. You know, yeah, they're going to have Atari 2600, Atari 5200, and Atari 800 games and blah, blah, blah. You know, all these games that were on the Atari old – yeah, we have those. You know, you have the collections already on consoles. You want to see what new games they do. And I swear if they go the method of doing Android games, I'm just going to slap them in the face.
Yeah, they need to bring something unique to, you know, compete against the other consoles.
I will laugh my ass off if Xbox Game Pass is on the Atari. If they use that as a living, what's it called, as a streaming service for Xbox games. And here's the thing, that is really likely to happen now that I think about it. They'll be desperate for games and they say, fine, we'll have the Xbox app on it so you can stream the games through it.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, at this point, because I know Microsoft is pushing its games onto other platforms now. They're going cross platform with some games.
Scott?
I have not played Cuphead because that looks brutally hard, and I don't want to get frustrated and stressed out over a game.
Here's the thing. You won't be frustrated. You won't be stressed out because even though it is a bullet hell game, it is also fun to watch and listen to.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It is fun, and they have a little, I guess I'd call it Super Mario World map where you walk to the different levels, so that part's neat. And, like, just the bosses are just these crazy animations, and, it does look fun to listen and watch, too. I just don't know if I'm... Would I be able to complete it even?
What if I told you I had couch multiplayer, which you and another person can play together? I mean that you know, when you have that, then the difficulty just goes away. Not because it becomes less difficult, but because you have the interaction with the other person, and then it becomes a social experience.
That's true, and I do like that you can kind of tag each other back in. If one dies, you just have to tag them. And they are brought back in, so I do like that mechanic.
Scott? I mean, TJ?
What is it? Cuphead? Of course I played it. Yeah, I beat it.
Well, yeah, you can beat it, but here's the thing. What was your grades on the... did you get... What were you, B-, C+?
Hey, look. I beat it. That's all that needs to be said.
So what he's saying is that, yeah, he just...
Winning's
got
winning,
C-.
Right, TJ?
He got the Bayonetta Enzo Ezio falling on his ass.
Dude, that robot Cuphead is insane. And I don't even care that I got a C on that one, because beating that thing is the most frustrating, most, like, jerking my hair out of my scalp sensation ever.
Don't stop scaring Scott. Don't scare Scott away.
I mean, okay, I would watch somebody who's competent do a no commentary playthrough of that game. Yeah. If you wanted to enjoy the best parts of that game without having to go through the worst parts of that game.
Have you seen the Cuphead boss rap battle? I mean, the Cuphead rap battle.
I haven't.
Oh, you got Google it. Google Cuphead rap battle. It is hilarious because all of the bosses rap about who they are and how they're going to get Cuphead and Bugman. And it's just hilarious because they show them, you know, what's it called? And then they get their special abilities and then they defeat them. But it's just, it is an awesome rap. You have to watch it. Trust me, it's worth the experience. You may not even need to play the game. You just need to watch the rap battle.
I enjoyed Cuphead. I beat it, and you know what? Like I did try to occasionally go for good grades on areas where I thought I could get them. But
you have to get the pink things. What do they call it again? When you knock a pink thing,
parry spots.
Yeah, you have to get the parries, and on some of the levels, the parries are near impossible.
Right, I really did enjoy that, but I also just like I'm the kind of person that goes after very, very difficult things. That's why I play fighting games, because I'm always challenged. But like, to somebody that has no interest in playing like a hard nails game, I would say that Cuphead has a lot of animation that's worth watching. I would just go look up a no commentary playthrough and watch somebody else go through that hazard.
Yeah, or just get the soundtrack.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But you know what? Just remember, the moral of the story is don't deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Okay. All right. Rebellion to show off Evil Genius 2, Sniper Elite VR, and Mystery Game at E3. This is from Game Watcher. Indie developer and publisher Rebellion will have quite the lineup for E3 2019, with the long-awaited sequel to Evil Genius, a VR version of their popular shooter Sniper Elite, and an unannounced AAA title. Evil Genius 2 was announced back in 2017, marking a return to the fun gameplay mechanic, which can best be called Dungeon Keeper with Spies. Players will take on the role of essentially a James Bond villain, mounting a secret base that will have to fend off invasions from super spies. Meanwhile, Sniper Elite VR will allow players to have a truly immersive experience, as peering through the scope will achieve a whole new dimension of depth and environment. Those attending E3 will get a chance to actually try out a playable build of the game. Finally, Rebellion promises a whole new game that they consider a major release. The game will be unveiled at a PC gaming show before E3, which will be streamed at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. BST on June 10th.
Yeah, that's the 1 hour after Greenwich Mean Time. TJ, are you going to investigate Sniper Elite VR?
You know, those games appeal to a lot of people, and I see why, but it's just never been my jam.
Watching a bullet go through a skeleton and show what kind of internal damage you're doing to their internal organs?
Oh, no, I do. I play Mortal Kombat. I hadn't gotten into that series because it requires a lot from a PC, and I never had the kind of PC that could handle Sniper Elite.
Do the console version?
No, I don't.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know, Sniper Elite 2 Remastered is coming out, or it's already out. I'm not sure. And it just ups the graphics to 4K and stuff, so.
I didn't realize there was console versions for Sniper Elite, but at the same time, there's a lot of other games to be played.
You know why I like Sniper Elite? And not just for the sniping, but because it's one of the true stealth games. Because once they know where you are, yeah, you are in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're armed, but there's a lot of them. And you're usually in a small and cramped space.
Right. And the AI was the AI was, like, really, really boosted in that game to a point, like, they really went out of their way to make the soldiers react the way they ought to react if they know there's a guy in the area trying to assassinate somebody that they're protecting.
My favorite thing, though, is to wait until there's a loud noise, snipe the guy covering my butt, also do it in front of his game, because here's the thing. The guy will know that there's a sniper out there, but he has no idea where you are. So he'll be like Batman with the last criminal in a Predator mission in Batman Arkham Asylum. He'd be like, where? There's someone out there shooting us. But I have no idea where he is. But, so I know that I'm pretty sure that Paul is really looking forward to Evil Genius 2. Because I know a lot of people who loved Evil Genius who didn't really like Dungeon Keeper. Did either of you ever play Evil Genius?
I did play Evil Genius. I love that game. It was one of my favorite little RTSs.
Yeah. And they had Evil Genius Online, but that was a flop. So, but Evil Genius 2, you know?
Yeah.
We need a good here's the thing. Even the Dungeon Keeper games have not been Dungeon Keeper. I mean, they released Dungeon, and they had several sequels to it, too. And it wasn't Dungeon Keeper, you know? So I'm looking forward to Evil Genius 2 because that satisfies. I mean, well, here's the thing. No, Two Point Hospital, which is a spiritual successor to Theme Hospital, which was done by the same people who did Theme Hospital, was a Dungeon Keeper game. It had the same engine and everything. So there was at least that. So, but yeah, Scott, did you ever play Evil Genius?
No, I haven't. I don't think I've heard of this game before.
Oh, okay. Well, did you ever play Dungeon Keeper?
Yes, that I have played.
Okay, well, Evil Genius 2, Evil Genius was made by the same people, and it is, like the copy said, Dungeon Keeper with spies. So, yeah, you're a Bond villain, and you have to build all these rooms for your experiments and all that stuff, but you also have to have it armed against super spies.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, so let's move on to E3 rumors. I'm going to do this one thing at a time, TJ, so let's do the first one, and then we can discuss it.
Sure. Pull it up here. Watch Dogs... Wait, are we doing the Rebellion thing? Or No, we
no,
already
we're done with Rebellion.
Okay. Watch Dogs Legion. An Amazon UK listing spoiled what looks to be one of the big surprises Ubisoft may have in store for its press conference. Watch Dogs Legion is apparently the name of the third Watch Dogs game. According to the leak, it's set in a post-Brexit UK and will allow you to assume control of any character in the world.
I know a lot of people who liked Watch Dogs 2. I thought it was junk. And, you know, I'm really getting tired of Ubisoft open-world games. So it'll be interesting to see because here's the thing, Far Cry 5 noted a lot of the problems that people have with their open world games and took out some of them, like, you know, and actually made fun of it during the game too. So it'll be interesting to see what they've learned from Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I mean, like, part of the issue with Watch Dogs is that you kind of have to be like, it's one of those open world games where, like, you kind of have to, you can't just be a hacker, you can't just be like a sneak. You have to murder people because it demands that's what you got to do if you're gonna be an edgy hacker activist. And I don't know, like, maybe don't.
So you don't like that it like gives you fake choice, I guess.
Yeah, give me a pacifist path, I guess. It just feels. I guess disingenuous to pretend to give you the choice and give you this freedom and then force you down the way of like, gotta crack some eggs.
That reminds me of the zero punctuation for Watch Dogs 2. When Yahtzee said the tagline of Hackers, you know, the movie, was their only crime was curiosity. With Watch Dogs 2 is their only crime is curiosity, trespassing, criminal vandalism, assault, bank fraud, grand theft auto, and one or two good old-fashioned first-degree murders.
Right. Like, skulls.
That was one thing I liked in Pillars of Eternity 2 that they did an improvement over the first game was give you more options for nonviolent choices to solve a problem. You know, because like the first game, it felt like it was always a fight. Second game, it felt like you had more easy options to get out of a fight if you didn't really want to have to kill everything. So it was,
at least it was an attempt to not have to get into a fight. I mean, Mass Effect, you know, the Mass Effect series often, you know, you can talk your way out of some stuff, but sometimes you can't. But you can attempt to, so that at least it shows, well, you know, he didn't want to, but they just pulled a gun on him. You know, just at least have that thing. So at least give us the illusion, because one of the reasons why I fell out of favor with Saints Row is that late in Saints Row 2, they're having you do some really evil, malicious, sadistic stuff. And I don't like the character I'm playing anymore, and I just stopped.
Yeah.
I'm not really surprised with that.
It went way beyond, and at least they had the good sense that as they went on, they just made it more and more cartoonish until you're the President of the United States fighting aliens. And I'm not
exaggerating. Well, I mean, what's more?
That was Saints Row 4. You're fighting aliens.
I think I saw the first game and you're killing people with a purple dildo. You can't really come back
that's
the from
second
that.
Game. You don't get the big dildo until the second game. The first game just had you as some bystander who's forced into it, and you know, and you're a lot more sympathetic in the first game because it's just you in over your head, and you really don't have a choice. In the second game, you're just turning into a kingpin and who likes murdering innocent women.
So it seems like Watch Dogs is not much different than GTA, where you're just killing people, apparently.
No, it's just dumb.
Okay.
So anyways, next item. TJ?
Okay. I thought TJ had something.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay. I'll do the next one, right? Destiny 2 Shadowkeep DLC going to be back to the moon. Destiny 2's future content is set to be revealed ahead of E3, but before that can happen, data miners have uncovered what appear to be some of the key details about what's next. The upcoming expansion is reportedly called Shadowkeep and will launch this fall. It involves a return to a Destiny 1 location, the moon, with Hive taking center stage as the main antagonist.
Can we have some more interesting enemies for Destiny? Seriously? It seems to me like everything is just three different types of enemies, and those enemies are just have different color palettes.
Yeah, and I mean, they're going to the moon.
Yeah, but they're bringing the Hive. Who gives a shit? I don't give a shit about the hive.
The moon is the most boring place in Destiny.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, in Mass Effect 1, the moon was great. And that was just a palette swap of other planets. But, you know, having the moon and seeing the Earth hanging in the sky in Mass Effect 1, it was really awesome.
It was. But it was also just a barren wasteland of craters and black gray. I hate the moon. There are so many other more interesting planets and astral bodies in Destiny that, like, why would you pick the moon? The moon is like going back to the Dollar Tree of planets.
It's just not just that, but, you know, I think the Division 2 has stolen a lot of thunder from Destiny 2 and from Anthem. You know, a lot of people have been praising the Division 2. I haven't played it, but people have actually been up on it. You know, unlike the first one, in which people were like, eh.
The only complaint I've heard out of Division 2, is the balls hard requirements for the raid that's in it right now, which, like, apparently requires 8 people.
Yeah,
and
we talked about this last week. Yeah, expert players took 5 hours. While average players, like I remember, took 2 days.
Yeah,
that's insane.
You had to have like 8 players, and if somebody drops out, then you're kind of screwed. And that's just like, wow, that is insanity.
Hardcore. Well, here's the thing, you know, we talked about this, and I said, you know, that's fine. You know, keep just have 2 versions of the same thing. One that's easier, that doesn't take as long, and the other one for the hardcore who want things to be a challenge, leave that, you know, you get better loot if you complete the really, really hard version of it. But, yeah.
I agree.
It isn't in the news item, but they've also been, Bethesda's been really working hard to add content to Fallout 76 and adding new stuff to it. They're not giving up on that so soon. And, you know, I hope the people who have stuck with Fallout 76 get rewarded a year after it's been released, you know, sort of like, you know, you entered in when it was half finished and you start reaping the benefits because you were able to stick with it. Okay, anyways, next item. Baldur's Gate 3 is coming. Larian Studios appears to have some kind of announcement up its sleeve, as its website has been updated to tease something involving number 3. Your mind might quickly go to Divinity Original Sin 3, a follow-up to a series of games that have established Larian as an RPG powerhouse in recent years. And I talked about this before. That's because they're one of the few really, really positive Kickstarters, you know. They're the ones who are able to single-handedly bring back the isometric RPG, which is why you see Baldur's Gate, and which is why you see all these older games, and which is why you see stuff like Pillars of Eternity, and which is why you see stuff like Wasteland 3. You can thank Larian for that, because they love the isometric RPGs and say, you know, we're going to make our own, but, you know, no one's going to help us do it, so we're going to crowdfund it, you know. Anyway, as discovered in the metadata of the website, Larian may be working on Baldur's Gate 3. This is the series that BioWare is famous for back in the day, and a third entry would be a major surprise, given that Baldur's Gate 2 was released way back in 2000, but also Throne of Baal was released in 2001, which was the expansion.
Right.
So, I know you're probably drooling over this, Scott.
Very much so. I'm very excited and surprised that Larian Studios was going to be doing this, but I think I remember someone on that team tweeting that they said they knew who was working on Baldur's Gate 3, and I guess it's Larian. I thought Beamdog was building up to this, but I guess not.
Beamdog owns the rights to the games, the Baldur's 1, Baldur's 2, and all that stuff. They do not own the license.
I guess not. I mean, I thought I don't know. It's very confusing, these licensing things, because you figure if they're doing enhanced editions of these games that they were working up to making a Baldur's Gate 3, and they just needed the funds.
No, they only own the rights to those specific games. I mean, you see this with Bethesda and Fallout. You know, Interplay owned Fallout 1 and 2, but Bethesda owned the rights to these series. Did you play the Divinity games, Scott?
Yes, I did. I've enjoyed them. I thought they were fun. They added interactive elements
environment. You're well acquainted with Larian's work.
Yes. And so I won't be surprised if they include stuff like that, where you can, shoot some barrels and light fires and do stuff like that.
I would not be surprised if we learned that Chris Avalon would be involved in this too. Chris Avalon has been involved in everything lately.
I mean, if they're doing Baldur's Gate 3, I imagine they don't need crowdfunding then, I don't think they will.
Oh, no, they're using the money they got from crowdfunding to make this. And, here's the thing, it's an investment. People know Baldur's Gate. And, Beamdog by Beamdog sending these games to console, it's sort of like advertising for Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I mean, I like that concept. It just kind of surprises me. I didn't realize, I guess certain companies are more friendlier than I thought then in that case. I'm glad they are.
Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 will sell Baldur's Gate 3. Baldur's Gate 3 will sell Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. I mean, you'll have new players saying, what is this Baldur's Gate thing? And they're going to play 3 and they say, oh, I like that. So they're going to say, well, let me check out the first two games in the series.
Mm-hmm. But I do wonder what rule set they'll use, if they will use what they've done with Divinity, or if they'll use one of the D&D rule sets or make up a whole new
rule sets. The only question is which edition are they going to use? If I remember correctly, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 used second edition?
They used 2.5 is what they called it. Because there were some elements from the third edition in there, so they called it 2.5. I don't know what edition they'll use again. So it's like they might make an amalgam or something, make their own, but, bring in new elements, their own, I guess, Larian version of D&D.
Moving on to the next one. Go ahead, TJ. On this one wins the award for okay. TJ?
Ubisoft announces a multiplayer-focused roller derby game. I'm into it. Through unconfirmed leaks, it's been announced that Ubisoft will announce a roller derby game during its E3 press conference. Called Roller Champions, this game supposedly rocks Fortnite-like character designs and Rocket League-like mechanics, arenas, and multiplayer modes. Based on the leak, Roller Champions looks to be both entirely multiplayer and an always-online game, with no option to play couch co-op. No actual gameplay for Roller Champions has been leaked, but a video of apparent in-game visuals has. We've seen what looks to be two different arenas for players to skate in. The first is a sunny beachside track, while the second is an indoor professional stadium. Like Rocket League, an assortment of randomly generated people populates the cheering crowd.
Yeah, I can just...
Okay. Now, I gotta ask, did either of you play Space Quest 4?
I remember it, and I know what you're going to talk about.
This relates, hold on. There's a roller derby in the mall in Space Quest 4, and you go around hitting each other and shooting lasers and all sorts of crazy antics in there, and it reminded me of that, and I would want to hear that music.
This is probably not going to be any more different than any other kart racing game or burnout game, since you're going to be on a track and you're going to probably, since it's, roller derby, you're probably going to be trying to knock people out, But if it's roller derby, you have to have teams, though, because basically roller derby is two teams of five women, if I remember correctly, five, who basically try to knock each other out and get in the lead.
I just think about Rocket League and how, nuanced the jumps and turning and rocket jumps and, the mechanics for, shooting the ball are. And I want something like that applied to throwing an elbow at someone's throat. This is interesting. This is a curious...
Well, if you're going to have that, forget that. Imagine if you knock someone down. that their body is going to be an obstacle on the track itself, you know, because you see that in roller derby, you know, one person gets knocked down and it causes a five person collision pileup.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Like this is the maybe the most odd concept I've heard. Like when I really think about it, I'm actually surprised that it hasn't already happened. But like maybe it hasn't. I just don't know. But at the same time, it's like interesting play, Ubisoft. And an E3 reveal of that.
Remember when Rockstar came out with a ping pong game?
Yeah. And like, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what this looks like when it's in action. And I'm curious as to why it would be an E3 reveal, because it doesn't sound like an E3 reveal.
Oh, come on.
It sounds like just like a strange side trip. It sounds like a strange side project that, like, you know what? It sounds like an E3 reveal for Devolver.
No, here's the thing. It sounds like an E3 reveal for a change of pace. Because, you know, you watch Ubisoft, you watch Microsoft, you watch Sony. Not so much Nintendo, but, you know, they always have the same thing. Dark, grim, gritty, Gears, Halo. And at some point, you have to have something nice, light, and fluffy. Not that roller derby is light and fluffy, but it's, you know, off-kilter and colorful. You know, you need something like that to break up the monotony. So we're going to have Watch Dogs. And, well, actually, Ubisoft, though, you know what I'd like to see from Ubisoft? Another platformer, you know.
Well, we'll likely get a bigger look at Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, judging from the trailers they keep releasing for that, I have no interest in Beyond Good and Evil 2. Forget it. No. No, absolutely not.
I mean, it's going to be a platformer.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I'd rather see another Rayman game. Because we're long overdue for a Rayman game. The one platformer that is able to look at Mario and say, this is how it's done. That's the only platformer that looks down at Mario and says, yeah, I'm better than you. You know, I may not be more popular, but I do it better.
The only platformer that has an entire level set to Black Betty.
Although I will say, you know, one game that I would love to see a return of is Commander Keen. For those who don't know, Commander Keen was a platformer by id Software a long time ago in the early 90s. And it came because they made a PC version of Super Mario Brothers, and Nintendo said no. And they said, well, we can't waste what we did here. Let's turn it into its own game with its own characters. Mm-hmm. And you can buy the entire series, I believe, for $8 on Steam. If you haven't played Commander Keen, I suggest it really a lot. There's one in which you have to fight vegetables because Keen doesn't like vegetables.
Keen was quirky. I love Keen.
Anyways, the last item. Microsoft brings back the Fable series with a brand new game. Speculations about a fourth Fable game have been circulating the internet for years, but a new rumor published by an alleged industry insider has revealed that Microsoft is finally set to tease a new title for the series during the company's E3 press conference. Between the rumors that Microsoft is revealing a new console, a new From Software game, and now a new Fable, it seems like Xbox boss Phil Spencer is keeping his promise that the company would quote-unquote go big at E3 this year. I'm going to stop right there. A new From Software game. Well, I mean, if Sony's going to get Bloodborne, you know, Microsoft has to have their own From Software game, don't they? Petri executive editor Brad Sams, who is well known for his track record in reliably breaking Microsoft news, has confirmed on Twitter that he's heard of a new Fable game in the works. He doesn't know if Microsoft plans on revealing the game during E3 2019, but thinks it's quote-unquote highly plausible. So, well, let's take a step back from Fable. TJ, would you be interested in a new From Software game that's for the Xbox console?
Yeah, I would. I mean, From Software hasn't done anything to disappoint me. I think all of their games that I've played have been very, very fun. I've been having a lot of fun with Sekiro.
You know what? Here's the thing. When From Software, you know, they're not going to do another Dark Souls because they said they're done with it. Not that they need to, but to make this game different, I wonder if they're going to make – if they make a game for the Xbox, if it's going to be a sci-fi game, so to match something like The Surge. Because they've done for this Sony thing, they just went with blood, 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 and more blood, right? So I'm wondering if they're going to go the opposite with and make a science fiction Dark Souls type game, one that's done right.
Maybe. I don't know. That like that seems off brand for From Software to me for some reason.
Well, hey, Dark Souls 2 is filled with people in armor, right? Just turn the armor into robots. Oh, you know what would be nice? Imagine if From Software did their own version of System Shock. So now you have the gooiness, too.
If From Software is making a Fable game, then I might actually enjoy and want to play that game.
Oh, can you imagine? Well, that's the other thing. Fable had okay combat, you know, which is really cool to look at, but it was oversimplified. Can you imagine if now Fable had combat that required Dark Souls strategy?
Oh, my God.
It would be tough.
Yeah, it would actually be a challenging and tough game, yes.
And also, the thing about Fable was not, you know, the combat and not – it was that you were watching your character grow up and all the things that you did would be reflected on that character.
You were shaping the world around you.
I always try to see how far I could go in that game without getting a single scar in Fable. Because in Fable, the only way you get scars is either you get beat up pretty badly or you get killed, you know, and that would give you scars. I would see how long I could go with a completely smooth face. I also sometimes went the extreme, like, I tried very hard to kill everything in my path and just eat a lot. So I was this big fat devil that was running around. That was the fun of
it. Yeah, I always seem to turn into a big, fat, muscular guy with you know, gray hair, and it was just
because you
so
use magic
odd
too
and
much.
Concerning.
Using magic grays your hair, and you probably ate a lot no matter what. Here's the thing: if you wanted to remain thin, you had to eat vegetables and stuff like that. You had to avoid the pies. You had to avoid the processed goods. You know. I didn't care too much about that, but yeah, if you use magic, your hair would go gray really fast.
Okay, then. I did use magic a lot.
Yeah.
I used everything, pretty much.
That's why you were a fat, what's it called, muscular, gray-haired dude.
Yeah, it was just weird. I mean, I always seemed to turn into that no matter what choices I made, and just,
I ended up one character that I really liked. I had him dressed in all black, and he was really thin, and he was really good at agility. So I basically had a ninja, and the way he would fight was he would just do these combos that were unbelievable to watch. And it would be like he would defeat 10 people before they could even react, not with magic, just with combat. You might want to put yours on pause there, TJ, if you're going
to. I was just I don't know. I'm thinking about like whether or not a From Software Fable game would be good. I like the idea of just like I like the idea of a new Fable. It's been a long time since Fable 3.
Yeah, no one played Fable the Journey.
Yeah, and I like the idea of just like a regular new Fable game.
Well, Peter Molyneux is not going to be behind it, so there's not going to be the over-promising. But on the other hand, you know, I hope they really try to expand on the game and do some of the stuff that he promised, which would have been impossible back then, but is more impossible now. You know, I would love to see a Fable game that lives up to its potential. Also, I would like to see characters that I really gave a shit about, because the biggest problem about Fable was that aside from you and named characters, everybody else was just a puppet, you know, that didn't really matter. You got married to some puppet, you know. There was never anybody that you'd want to get married to because they were all just simple AIs, you know. I'd like to see a game in which all the characters have their own personality.
Well, I feel invested in that world. I understand. I felt that way in Skyrim, and it would be interesting to see if they can try to capture some of that kind of magic where you just get invested in that world.
I mean, make me care.
I think, you know how you get me to care about a Fable game really quick? Make it a game where we're going to go kill Reaver. Because if they told me I was going to go kill Reaver, I would be so happy.
He's the ultimate Karma Houdini.
Yeah, well, I hate him. I hate him so much, and I would, like, he had it coming. He has it coming so badly.
You know, if you ever play the game and you play it to death, what's it called? He does have some depth, and, you know, there is a part of him that knows he's doing wrong, and he's gonna pay for it, because the Council of Shadows, they said he can do whatever he wants. We're still here waiting for him, you know. What I would love is if the Creeper returns, because that was the best thing about Fable 3. Just the entire mood change of the game. After you meet the Creeper, the entire game changes immediately.
Yeah.
The Creeper was a great character. And then suddenly you go from Monty Python to Desperately. Oh, that's the other thing. If there's a Fable 4, please, 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 please hire members of Monty Python. not just him, but also Eric Idle, you know. Get Terry Jones, you know, get everybody. Hell, see if you can even get Terry Gilliam.
I was going to say, you can probably leave off Terry Gilliam.
I mean, you know, John Cleese is nice, but I want the entire crew there. That's possible. I mean, two of them are dead.
Terry Gilliam's kind of a dingbat.
Oh, that's right. He was in Jupiter Rising. That's right. He played during the part in which they were parodying Brazil. He was there. That's meta humor. So yeah. Before we end this, Scott, what is the one thing that rumor you've heard from E3 that you're really hoping is true?
The Baldur's Gate 3, I would really hope.
Aside from the ones we've discussed right now, I just stuff that we haven't discussed yet.
I guess this is a long shot, but I'd like to hear what Minecraft 1.15 is going to be, but I don't think they're going to show that at
E3. They're probably going to continue with Minecraft Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to show Minecraft Earth, I think, and that's probably going to be it. I think there was... I'd like Nintendo to show more of Link's Awakening. That would be good.
You know, there was there's a rumor that Nintendo will hint around at what the next Switch will be, and if there's going to be a new form for it, you know, like a cheaper, smaller Switch.
I guess for rumors, then I would hope that there's a more souped up Switch, but
a smaller form. Because here's the thing: Switch is still really early in its development cycle, so they're not going to have a Switch 2, but you might have something like a PS Slim or something like that.
I don't need a smaller Switch. It's small enough already.
No, but I mean, a Switch that's more sturdy, made with better materials. Okay. How about you, TJ? What rumors have you heard about E3 that you're hoping are true?
You know, I want Bloodborne 2. I hope that Bloodborne 2 does happen. I don't know that I expect that it will actually happen or be revealed at E3, but like...
I would laugh if FromSoftware said that Bloodborne 2 was going to be a Microsoft exclusive. If that's the game that Microsoft is going to have. Yeah, you had one, now we have two.
I don't think that happens, because if there were...
Yeah, I think Sony owns the name Bloodborne, but still, that would be hilarious.
Outside of that, I kind of hope that Bethesda has a little something more to show us about Elder Scrolls 6.
I agree.
Well, I think it's about time. You know, I think they've milked out everything they possibly can from Elder Scrolls 5.
Yeah, they totally have.
Yeah. I mean, well, we don't know. I mean, Rockstar is still milking Grand Theft Auto 5 for all its might. And there's no sign there's going to be a Grand Theft Auto 6 anywhere.
Another thing is I want to see more. Like, this year is supposed to be the quote unquote year of doom for id Software. I really am it. Like, one of the most interesting things I saw last year was them talking about the fact that Doom Eternal was going to have like a PvP invasion mechanic where other players can invade your single player game as demons. And they kind of left that off and haven't talked about it since. I'm really interested to see more about what that is and how it's going to play out. And like, A, I want to know that I can turn that off because that could get annoying if I just was on all the time.
Well, don't you have that in Dark Souls?
Yes, you do. You can have it turned on, but you can also like turn it off. And I kind of want that option. But then I also want to see what it's like. I want to see what it's like when you turn into a demon and go and invade someone else's game. And does it have like some sort of progression where like you get stuff if you kill Doom guy, or does Doom guy get something if he kills the special player demons? Like, I want to know more.
I had this chill up my spine like a minute ago, thinking what if Bethesda makes the Elder Scrolls 6 into a games as service type of game.
That's what Elder Scrolls Online is, isn't it?
No, that's an MMO. Yeah. That's a pure MMO. That's not a game service thing. That's an actual MMO. No, I mean games as service as in Fallout 76 or something like that.
Anyways. I hope not. Yeah.
Look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon on Twitter.
I'm at Johnny Chugs.
I'm at Alpha Shard.
And I don't know if we'll have an episode next week because TJ will be hip deep in E3. Maybe we can have a podcast with him on the cell phone. We don't know. But whatever happens, DJ will be able to tell us what he saw at E3 now that I'm not going to be there for the first time since 2000. Well, the first time I was ever there was 2002, so it'll be the first time since 2001 I haven't attended E3. And the shocking thing is I really don't care.
Yeah, it should be fun, though.
Oh, it should be fun for you. I mean, you haven't burned out of it yet. Mm-hmm. This is going
to
be your second.
It'll be fun to watch.
This is going to be your second, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. It's still magical for you.
I suppose.
Yeah. Anyways, we will see you possibly next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.